Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the one God. Amen. Happy Feast of the Resurrection. It's lovely to be at this time of the year once again. And of course, today is the first Sunday of the 50 days after the Feast of the Resurrection, which is known as the Sunday of Thomas. 8 days after the resurrection, traditionally, is when the thing we read in the Gospel today happened, when Jesus appeared to the disciples. And Thomas, who had doubted, was this time present and saw the risen Jesus, and he believed. This 50 days is a time of happiness and of joy, of living in the victory of our Lord Jesus over death. And that means living with the resurrected Jesus, tasting the life of resurrection, the life that comes when we have defeated the death of sin, and we start to taste the eternity, the eternal life, which Jesus gives to us. And you will have noticed over the past years that most of the Gospels during this 50 days come from one of the four Gospels, from the Gospel of John, as today, and many of the others on Sundays to come, and also even in the middle of the week, the most prominent gospel during this 50 days is the Gospel of John. I wonder why. One reason might be because the historians tell us that the Gospel of John was almost certainly the last one of the four Gospels to be written. The Gospel of Mark was probably the first, and it might have been written somewhere around 60 AD or somewhere there. And the Gospels of Luke and Matthew came sometime within 10, 15 years of that. And then it's about 30 years later, somewhere between 90 and 100 AD, that the Gospel of John is finally written. So it's different to the other three Gospels for a very good reason. The Christians had had time to think about who Jesus is and what he did, to see the effects of Jesus as his gospel started to spread throughout the world, to see the lives being changed by Jesus. So the Gospel of John is kind of not just repeating what the other three Gospels said, but thinking about them, reflecting on them, interpreting them, understanding them more deeply. And that's why we call St. John the theologian, because he speaks about God. He reveals God. So this story of St. Thomas doesn't appear in the other three Gospels. Obviously, they couldn't write everything in every Gospel. And it's only as St. John is thinking more and more about who Jesus is and what he's done that he feels, you know what, we can't leave this story out. He says in the Gospel, I think we even read it today, that there are many other things. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, and probably not written in any of the four Gospels. There were too many things to write. But St. John decided this one has to be told, this one has to be recorded. Because it tells us something very, very important about the resurrection. It tells us that in Jesus, we got to do something that Moses and the prophets never could. You'll notice that when we do the procession, the cross that leads the procession has two sides. On one side is the resurrection, of course, but on the other side is the crucifixion. So it reminds us that the same one who died in a very human way on Good Friday is the same one who rose in what can only be a divine way on Easter Sunday. And they're the two sides of the same person. And in the same way, we can think of how people came to know God in the Old Testament and how people come to know God in the New Testament. Moses said to God, "Lord, let me see your face." And God said to him, "No one can see my face and live." So Moses didn't get to see the actual face of God. He couldn't. But then God became a human being in Jesus. And he says, "Not only look at my face, but look at my hands, look at my side, look at the wounds." By becoming a human being in Jesus, we can now do what Moses never could. We can look upon the face of God himself. In the Old Testament, God said to Moses, "I am the Lord your God." He gave the commandments. And that's the first one of the Ten Commandments. God very, very clearly said to Moses and to the people of Israel and to the world, "I am the Lord your God." And then God became a human being in Jesus. And sometimes people say, why doesn't Jesus ever just stand up and speak the simple sentence, "I am the Lord your God"? Why doesn't Jesus ever actually say those exact words? And the reason is because Jesus has come to us and shown us that he is the Lord our God. And now in the time of the New Testament, it is time not for God to tell us, but for us to tell him. And that's exactly what happens here in the Gospel. Thomas bows and he says, Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God," after he had believed. It's exactly the same titles that we find in the first commandment in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, Moses and the people of Israel met God as a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, and nobody could come close to him. He was a scary, distant God, and they all hung back, and even Moses himself wasn't allowed to see the face of God. But when God becomes a human being and defeats death and rises from the dead, now he says to us, "Come, come and touch my wounds. Come and see me. Come and be with me. Come and live with me. Listen to my words." We repeat those words of the gospel every time we read the gospel, when we pray the litany of the gospel. Blessed that there were those who wished that they could see me and they couldn't, and they wished that they could hear me and they couldn't. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In the risen Jesus, the God who Moses could not approach has approached us, and he has shown himself to us, and he is inviting us now to come to him as Thomas did, and to see his humanity, to touch his wounds, to know that he was crucified on the cross as a human being and died as a human being, and to see behind that the one who died rose and is in fact God himself, the same God who was in the pillar of the cloud and the fire in the time of Moses. But now we can see him and touch him. Now he can be in our lives, and our lives can be in him. And that, I think, is what we are meant to do with the resurrection, what we are meant to do with this meeting with God in the risen Jesus. Because we could just say, "Wow, blessed are my eyes, blessed are my ears. Jesus is risen from the dead. Huzzah!" And then what? What comes after that? If that's all that it is, if it's just a spectacle, if it's just a miracle, if it's just a wonder, then I have not yet learned what it means to be alive. I'm still living behind a veil, like the veil that was put on the face of Moses. I'm still living in darkness. What Jesus did by rising from the dead is to lift that veil from our faces, so that now we can come face to face and meet Jesus. And no one comes to that meeting and leaves unchanged. No one can encounter the risen Lord and God and just continue on their life as if nothing was different, because it changes everything. We say that we live in the light of the resurrection, and that's a very appropriate example. It's the difference between stumbling around in our life in the dark and having the lights turned on and seeing and knowing and understanding what life is really all about. We have all of these goals. We have all of these motivations in our lives. I want to do this. I want to achieve that. I want to get there. We have all of these burdens that we carry with us. Burdens of failure. Burdens of isolation and shame sometimes, and guilt. Burdens that come upon us from other people sometimes. And burdens that we sometimes create for ourselves just by the way that we think about our life. And when we meet the risen Jesus, he lifts from us all of those burdens. He turns the lights on. And we see all those things that everybody cares about so much with completely different eyes. Time sometimes does that for us in a small way. I sometimes ask people who are going through a tough time to think back to a time 20, 30, depending on how old they are, 50 years ago, when they were in a big problem. And I say to them, how big is that problem to you today? And 99% of the time they'll say, it means nothing to me today. And yet back then it meant everything. Back then it made the sun go dark for my life. It made me miserable. But over time, I came to see it with different eyes. Over time, I came to put it into perspective. And I came to realize that that thing that I thought was so terribly, horribly important, now I see that it wasn't that important. And that's what the risen Lord does. He opens a window and lets the breeze of eternity fill our souls. And now that we can see things from the perspective of eternity, we see them as different. They no longer have that power over us to make us feel terrible and horrible and like life is over. We realize the true life, the real meaning of life, the reason why we are alive, what it means for a real human being to really be alive, is not in money and jobs and where I am and who I'm with and all of those things that we care so much about. It is in the glory of the love of God, who died for us on the cross, who rose from the dead and defeated death for us, who created this whole wonderful world for us, so that every day we could be filled with joy by the taste and the sound and the sight and the smell and the touch of this beautiful world. That we could look at everything from the biggest galaxy to the tiniest little bug and see the wisdom and the glory and the love of a beautiful and generous God shouting out to us every day and saying, I love you. I have made you for myself. You are my joy. You are created to be with me in eternity. This is what we understand most clearly when we look upon the resurrected Lord. And then we bow before him and we say with St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. Glory be to God forevermore.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.